So Elisha, the double portion. You know, it's always exciting when something is twice as big or twice as grand as the original. You know, we always like, well, that first was good, but if it's twice, you know, or a lot bigger, we think that's pretty exciting. Usually, something, you know, we won't get into the bad stuff. All right. Well, it's not uncommon for someone to ask for a large portion of something they desire. I have to think of myself when they ask me if I want a piece of pie for dessert. You know, and I really like it if, say, you want peach or raspberry or pecan. And I just say, yes, you know, a triple portion. Anyway, so we can all relate to that. We like big portions if we can get them of a lot of things. Well, this lesson will introduce us to the prophet Elisha, a man who asked for a double portion. We had a real blessing yesterday, as it turned out. A couple, Chris and Zana, had asked to be baptized in the river just as it comes out of Lake Coeur d'Alene. So several of their friends and church family got to go watch the baptism, which was really nice. Water was cold. I'm glad I wasn't waded in there. But we all got a double portion because as they came out of the water, they asked the pastor to marry them as well. So they stood in the water up to their waist, just being baptized, dripping wet, and the pastor married them. So we all got a double portion of blessing. It was really, really neat. It was special. So that was very fun. And I told him, that's perfect for my lesson tomorrow. We're talking about double portion, and we got a double blessing portion yesterday just down there at the river. So that was fun. Well, God used Elisha in a unique and powerful way. We can clearly see several aspects in the life of Elisha that we can emulate in our own lives. You know, that's these lessons are give us something to strive after and to follow. Well, you know, it seems like all these lessons from legends have one real common theme, and it continues, I know, for the next week or two, and that is faithfulness. You know, if we just learn to be faithful, you know, that's a lot of that stems on that. So we see, number one, here that Elijah, was faithful. Number one is faithful. First Kings 19:19 says, "So he, Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." The Bible asks the rhetorical question, a faithful man who can find? A faithful man who can find. That's Proverbs 26 there on your worksheet. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" You know, we all like to say we're good or tell somebody we're good, but who can really find one that is truly faithful? At times it's very difficult to find a man who is wholly dedicated to what he believes and faithful to his cause, even when he's not under any form of supervision. You know, a lot of us kind of behave ourselves at work. You know, if the employer's looking over our shoulder and watching us, you know, it's a little easier to be faithful, isn't it? If there's nobody around supervising, then it's up to us and to use God's strength. Elisha was, from all evidences in the Bible, one of those few faithful men. The Bible teaches us that he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. We've heard that a lot, and as we discover, this was certainly the case with Elisha. You know, we've used this verse, it's there on your worksheet again, Luke 16:10. We use it in the finance class, an obvious use of it. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." In other words, sometimes how we treat the little things, you know, relates right to when it gets bigger. You know, and it's obviously true in finances, but it's just in so many other things. You know, in our family relationships, in a church service, in just attendance, church. You know, sometimes those little things just, they turn into bigger things that God has for us. Well, there's an illustration here that, on this tractor. Evangelist Lewis Arnold quoted Paul Harvey about a 73-year-old man who was rescued by friends just in the nick of time after being pinned beneath his tractor longer than Jonah was in the belly of the great whale. 3 days a man spent under the overturned tractor. Although his ordeal took place during a driving rain in a terrible storm, the 4 days and nights cost him only the amputation of one leg below the knee. It could have cost him his life, obviously, and would have if not his friends come looking. Why did they go to his farm to check? He missed a prayer meeting, and they knew that was highly unusual, that wouldn't normally happen. Not showing up for the least attended service on the church calendar caused those who knew him to realize something must be drastically wrong. His faithfulness to the Lord and his work saved his life. If you missed a prayer meeting, would anybody come looking for you this morning? Something to think about. You know, would we be afraid that something terrible must have happened? You know, we've had those experiences, to be honest with you. You know, if the pastor didn't show up this morning, we'd be worried. Amen? You know, if we weren't pretty sure the pastor was going to come preach or Pastor Farouk this morning, we'd think something's up. You know, faithful men of God that you know, we just come to expect, almost take for granted. And families, obviously, all kinds of situations that come up with that. If, you know, if you talk to your mother every day, for example, you know, then you miss a call, you usually send somebody to check on her. And it's just that kind of thing that can be really, really valuable. Well, Elisha was, letter A, faithful in his work. He was faithful in his work. Long before Elisha became a prophet of God, he was faithful in his simple tasks at home, on the farm. Israel, at this time, was an agrarian, a farming society. The first time we read about Elisha, we find he is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in the field. Probably this meant that in addition to his own team of two, he was supervising the other 11. It'd be almost impossible for one guy to control all 12 yoke of oxen, as you can imagine. Well, Elisha was also faithful to his leader. Who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. here in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Now, I don't recommend trying this at home, but Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. And I like that. Yeah, you try that, you're going to wish you picked one chair to sit in. So, Pavarotti continued, I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. And I like that. You know, it doesn't really matter what we choose in a profession as far as God concerned, as long as we commit to it and do it to our best of our abilities. It's important to choose and fervently pursue that. We, like Elisha, should be, letter A, fervent to follow the call. Be fervent to follow the call. 1 Kings 19:20 again. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? In other words, yeah, you know, I'm not doing anything, go back, but then follow the call. The interesting lesson of Elisha's following after the call of the Lord in his life is that he ran after Elijah. If you notice that there, he ran. He did not drag his feet. He did not grouchily surrender to his destiny. He did not bitterly accept his fate. He willingly ran to it and swore his allegiance. This act of running is a sign of a total willingness to follow God's plan. And we see this several other times in scriptures. We see that Peter ran to the empty tomb of Jesus. Joseph ran to his brothers. David ran to meet Goliath. Philip ran to catch the Ethiopian eunuch. It would be an exciting thing for God's people to determine to run heartily after God's will today. We could just be seen running after what he has for us and pursuing that with fervency. And like Elijah, we should be, letter B, fervent to remain faithful in service. Fervent to remain faithful. 2 Kings 2, verses 2 through 6. It's referenced there, but not written out. But it says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I don't want to hear it. I know it, but don't tell me about it. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Everybody keeps trying to tell me this. I don't care. I'm following after. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. He's going to carry on with his master no matter what everybody else said. That's some peer pressure, obviously, but he didn't listen to it. Often, it doesn't take a lot for people to be dissuaded from that which they were called to do. You know, we might have a call, but somebody can talk us out of it pretty easily, unfortunately, all too often. And we just, okay, that makes sense. You know, whatever might tickle our ears, so to speak. So In 2 Kings 2:2-6, we see the one phrase repeated three times, "I will not leave thee." Even people who were supposed to be spiritual, the sons of the prophets, tried to persuade Elisha to leave Elijah, since the Lord was about to take him away. But Elisha was determined to stick with the man of God all the way. And as the word of God states it so beautifully, they too went on. They went on together. It was evident that they shared a common focus. Are your best friends the kind of people who help you and encourage you to walk with God? It's another good question for us. You know, it's good to have friends, unsafe friends. We're not saying that, but your best friends ought to be ones that help build you up and strengthen you. You know, that's who you want really close to you and holding your arms up and holding their arms up in exchange, just to bear one another's burdens and encourage one another. Three verses there on your worksheet, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Need to be agreed. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He sharpens him up. And 1 Samuel 23:16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. They strengthened each other. Lots of examples of that in the Word of God. Well, number three, Elisha was fearless. He was fearless. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given his people the spirit of fear, but rather of power. We remind, we should not have fear. We should be fearless because we have God's power on our side. Elisha made the decision that he would never return to what had been his occupation. As the songwriter said so eloquently, there was to be no turning back. No turning back. We're going to sing that at the end of the lesson, as you might guess, because it's just a good lesson in the song. Elisha understood the principle that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God had not changed his mind, and therefore neither would Elisha. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's Luke 9:62. If we want to be fit for the kingdom, we shouldn't look back and go back to the way we were. And God's into the Lord is into a changing our lives, you know, for the better. There's a gentleman, Chrysostom, was a great preacher in the 4th century who was labeled the golden-mouthed. He was very popular with people as well as a brilliant scholar. He was bold when it came to condemning sin. He was called before the emperor whom he had offended. Then the emperor threatened the Chrysostom with exile unless he apologized. Chrysostom replied, "You cannot exile me because this world is my father's house." "I will kill you," said the emperor. "No, you cannot, because my life is hid with Christ in God." "I will take away your treasures," cried the emperor. "No, you cannot, for my treasure is in heaven and my heart is there." The emperor was totally furious at this point. "I will drive you away from man and you shall have no friend left." "No, you cannot, for I have a friend in heaven from whom you cannot separate me. I defy you, for there is nothing that you can do to hurt me." Wow. I'm a bit afraid we're going to start having those kind of challenges to our lives, and we need to be prepared to give those type of responses. And I thought, wow, that's appropriate for the series that the pastor's teaching us, to be prepared. You know, and we do. We just need to get our hearts right and set on what we were going to say when things start going against us, as they already are. And we need to be bold and speak up. There's another illustration here. Peter Cartwright was a 19th century circuit-riding Methodist preacher. He was an uncompromising man. One Sunday morning when he was to preach, he was told that General Andrew Jackson was in the congregation, and the preacher was warned not to say anything out of line. We got a VIP here, you know, we know how you are, don't speak up too much. Well, when Cartwright stood to preach, he said, I understand that Andrew Jackson is here. I've been requested to be guarded in my remarks. Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent. Yeah. Can you imagine some preachers saying that to some of our presidents nowadays? You know, they don't stand up like that very often. The congregation was shocked and wondered how the general would respond. After the service, General Jackson shook hands with Peter Cartwright and said, Sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could whip the world. Andrew Jackson understood the value of being fearless and strong. So, Elisha made fearless decisions. Fearless decisions. Like Abram, who followed the calling of God without knowing where he was going. Like Ruth, who followed Naomi back to Bethlehem. Like the disciples who left their families and occupations to follow him. Like the disciples that left to follow Jesus, Elisha fearlessly left the farm to follow the man of God. He showed his determination and his seriousness by killing one of his yoke of oxen and allowing his people to eat. He wasn't going to be needing them anymore. From this time forth, he was going to be serving God with Elijah and wouldn't be coming back. He knew the road, the path he had chosen to take. There on the worksheet, 1 Kings 19, verses 20 through 21. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto them, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Just once again. In 1519, Captain Hernando Cortez and a small army left the Spanish-held island of Cuba and set out on one of the greatest conquests in the history of the world. Cortez was going to accomplish his goals no matter the consequences. He put to death some of those who opposed him, got himself appointed captain general in order to get out from under Diego Velasquez's authority, and even destroyed his fleet in an attempt to motivate his men to adapt his at-all-cost attitude. Not going to be able to return. We're all in on this. We're going forward. What have you and I decided to leave behind for the sake of following the Lord? We're familiar with missionaries who leave their own countries to serve the Lord elsewhere in the world. But in truth, we're all called to forsake that which would hinder us from serving God. It may be our material possessions that we're holding us back. It may be that we have settled into our comfort zone, which we are unwilling to leave. Maybe it's bad habits that we don't want to let go of and to leave behind. It may be that we have some friends who are a bad influence. Is God speaking to your heart this morning about something in your life that you'd be better off without? Something to consider this morning and pray about. What's hindering me? What's holding me back? Anything, Lord, search my heart, oh God, and see what might be hindering. Hebrews 12:1 there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run that race. 1 Timothy 6:7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, that's... I thought about, there's a saying, you don't ever see the U-Haul behind the hearse, And I thought, well, somebody's probably going to do that someday, just so we can't say that anymore. Before yesterday, we'd never seen a wedding in the river right after a baptism. So, all things are possible. Well, in serving God, like Elisha, we should have fearless desires. We should have good fearless desires. 2 Kings 2:9 says, And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Much like King Solomon, Elisha had the right desires. He had good things that he desired. When Solomon was asked by God what he would like to have, he told God that above all he desired wisdom. And we know that story, and God granted that to him, and then so much more. When Elisha was asked by Elijah what he would like to have in his life, he said that he wanted a double portion of God's spirit. What a bold request from a simple country boy. He came off the farm, and, you know, he wasn't too intimidated to ask for a double portion of a great man of God and the spirit he had. Undoubtedly, Elisha understood that with God, all things are possible. He would go on to do God's work in the same way. And amazingly, he would go on to do twice the number of recorded miracles that Elijah had done. In many ways, he was a beautiful illustration of someone who lived what William Carey said, expect great things from God. Well, that got a little off kilter, but expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. You know, we pray all the time for great things from God, and, you know, we like to expect them, and a lot of things we can expect great things, but we need to attempt great things for God as well, and then do those. And then Elisha made some fearless declarations. Oh, there's the other half of that. Okay. All right. Fearless declarations. They're in the worksheet, 2 Kings 2, 13 through 15. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also spent in the waters, they pottered hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. They recognized the great faith that Elisha had and carried forward with the mantle of Elijah. Elisha realized from where the power of God came. After the fiery chariot had come and gone, he retrieved the mantle of Elijah. Like his predecessor, he smote the water and most importantly asked, almost challenged, God to work. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? As Paul Harvey would have said, the rest of the story is that when the waters had been smitten, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over, just as he had asked. One other thing worth mentioning is that the others saw God working in and through Elisha. We notice the prophets came forward after they had witnessed it. So we want to see people as we live our lives that people would come to see and follow after. They'd want a little bit of what we can demonstrate, just like Elijah did. This is a great challenge to believers today, that we would live in such a way that people would see that God is working in us and through us. We certainly want to, even the VBS is about that, to the community. We want people to see that, you know, God loves the little children and is working through us to bless them, and we want them to recognize that. As we seek to learn from the legendary characters of the Bible, Elisha offers us many lessons. He began his ministry as a servant for the man of God. Yet, even in this humble and simple job, Elisha was faithful to every task he had. But he was more than faithful, he was passionate. He had a passion, a fervency for that. He was fervent. He gave everything he had to fulfilling his responsibilities. And when trials came, he stood fearlessly. Would to God that Christians would rise up today and live today the way the legend lived so long ago. We can take him as one of our great examples. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for this story of Elisha and the example he gives to us, Lord. Help us to run after you, to seek you diligently, not kicking and dragging our feet, Lord, but we would just surrender totally to you and seek your will and what you'd have us to do. Lord, search us this morning. Is there anything or something that we should be leaving behind? In our thoughts or our actions, Lords, we need to leave them at your merciful feet. Help us to do that this morning, Lord. If things are weighing us down and holding us back, I pray that you would help us to be overcomers. Help us to be strengthened. Lord, as Hebrews 12:1 told us this morning, let us run the race that is set before us. You've given us things to do and service to provide, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help us all to run that race that you've given us. Lord, we pray this morning for Pastor Farouk and the service to follow, that you would just help us to get more message from you to our own hearts this morning. Help us to truly understand the value of life as that has given us to this morning as well. So we thank you for all of this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Well, next week we have Joseph, always one of our favorites. In here, he's such a great example to us. And one of the reasons is because it's like living like Jesus. He's a wonderful example of living like Jesus. So Joseph will be our focus of study next week.